The Adonis Audio Experience. As we finish off National Sibling Weekend, I have a conversation with my baby sister, Jocelyn, as she talks about her time as a Penn State alum and working in HR during this corona pandemic and the current state of quarantine. And we also get into a conversation about The Bachelor and Tiger King. Stay tuned, everyone. Welcome to the Adonis Audio Experience, everyone. And to top off National Sibling Day, there's just no better way to do it without my youngest sister, Jocelyn. Jocelyn, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Happy National Sibling Day.
You know, it's so good to get you on the call. It's like, I remember as a kid, you were like the happiest baby. I mean, you were like the cutest, happiest, like, oh my God. Like, you were the first one I'd go and grab. I mean, obviously, don't tell Jazz that. But
it's the chubby cheeks. They oh my
God. It was, you were just adorable. And then obviously, you were just so smart. Like, every day you'd go to school, come back home, and, you know, just straight A's. And just, you know, and blossoming into this adult of a person, and then being a trailblazer and going all the way to Penn State. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, tell me your experience a little bit over at Penn State. Would love to hear the stories. I mean,
yeah, I went in fall 2011 was my freshman year at Penn State. And if anyone knows the history, that was definitely an interesting time to be joining the university. Yeah. This is when the scandal broke out with Sandusky and involved Paterno. So that was literally my first semester on campus. I don't know if it was September or October, I can't remember, but just hearing riots outside of my dorm building, my parents telling me stay inside. Seeing the news that trucks were getting turned over. I mean, I definitely went outside to check it out, but it was crazy. Didn't think my freshman year would start that way. And I mean, you know, I didn't really grow up watching football, so I didn't get how strong of a culture it was until I got there. So I think that was just an interesting way to start, especially being 5 hours from home. But I think it also, just being that far away, aside from football, I obviously went there primarily for academics. I think that was a great experience for me just because I got to explore what I wanted to do and learn amongst 40,000
call for them.
So I really got to become myself and create my own path, which I really liked. And I think it helped just being away from everybody to do that.
Oh my goodness. No, that's amazing. And you are no stranger to just tumultuous times. I mean, that thing with Paterno that happened, and then just blossoming and growing into academics. So yeah, Jaz, I mean, you are no stranger to these tumultuous times, just living right there in Manhattan in the belly of the beast. I mean, what's your experience like out there right now?
Yeah, it's funny because April 1st, this past week, marked me living in New York for 3 years now. So it's been not that fun. Being quarantined indoors, nobody moves to New York City for their apartment, to be honest. You know, it's to work and have a convenience of short commute. But I live in a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment with three other girls who are luckily my friends. So I can't say anything bad about.
So you guys enjoy each other's company, to say the least.
So weekends we'll do brunch, we'll watch movies together, we'll order wine or food. So it's not bad, but imagine just sharing Wi-Fi in New York City with four other people, and also sharing a fridge and freezer. I think those are the biggest things I've learned.
Oh my God.
Especially with, you know, all the mandates of stay home. It's really hard for a New Yorker who has roommates to stay home for longer than a week's period of time, just for the fact that you need to go outside and get food.
Oh my God.
So now,
are people still out there playing dominoes and music playing and all that kind of stuff?
Oh yeah, of course. I live, in the Heights, so Upper Manhattan, and just to get a breath of fresh air, you can't even call it that because there's crowds of people, hanging out by the park, drinking, and playing dominoes, blasting music.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's ridiculous. It feels like nobody's taking it seriously. It's really sad.
It's New York. It's New York. Yeah. You can't tell them anything, man.
Right. And even Cuomo put out $1,000 fine for not following social distancing.
And that didn't scare anybody.
That did not. It's just, I almost felt like, where are the police? Can I call them myself? Like,
I can't
step out of my apartment without holding my breath.
That is hilarious. Now, are a lot of people wearing masks? I mean, what's the mask situation out there?
Everybody. I try and go on a walk every day, and the grocery stores alone, I mean, they have limits to how many people are allowed inside.
Yeah.
So the lines are crazy long. Everyone has a mask. I haven't worn a mask in the city just because I'm following social distance. So I'm not talking or getting too close to anybody, but the masks are everywhere. Even runners wearing masks. I'm like, that must hurt your, if you didn't have shortness of breath before, you might start experiencing that symptom running with a mask. The lines have been ridiculous. I've been trying to like figure out what's the best time to actually go grocery shopping with the least amount of people outside, and it's just crazy. And the scarier part is the nicer the weather becomes, the more people will want to get that breath of fresh air and enjoy the sun while still being quarantined. So masks are evident, and the lines at CVS and Rite Aid are crazy. They're right across the street from each other.
Oh my God.
It never goes down.
Wow. No, that's interesting. And there's a reason you moved to Manhattan. I mean, I remember when we went to your graduation at Penn State, you were the lead speaker there for the College of what again, Jaws?
It was the Schreyer Honors College. I was asked to speak at the honors graduation ceremony.
Yeah, and then from there, I guess your major was in HR, human resource.
Yeah, I did a 5-year master's program where I got my bachelor's in labor studies and employment relations, and I did my master's in human resources and employment relations.
Which then landed you to Manhattan, right in downtown, right? I imagine you're right by Times Square, your offices?
Yeah. I'm in Times Square working in HR during coronavirus. So
what is that like, as much as you can share? Because I can only imagine how tough it is right now in corporate America. But from us at a very ground level, what can we get some understanding of what that's like?
Yeah, I think the main priority, especially, in my profession, is keeping the masses calm with facts.
Yeah.
And I think that's what not really the news tries to do, because if you turn on the news, you hear how many cases have been updated.
You're going to lose your mind.
So I actually try not to look at the news.
And we literally have a reality TV show star heading task force conversation.
Right. So that doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
But I think just from an HR perspective and a work perspective, it's been, we've had to move quickly to come up with a plan. And every day you know, it's been long hours, 12-hour days, just trying to figure out how best to, you know, have employees contact HR if they need help, if they're feeling symptomatic, and being that voice of reason to talk them through, okay, these are the known symptoms.
Yeah.
You know, it's also allergy season. We've also seen people have the flu.
True.
But as much as we can tell employees, it's really stay home, because the doctors and healthcare providers every day are telling people, if your symptoms aren't extreme, you will catch coronavirus just walking into an emergency room or a city MD, and those are everywhere in the city. So the most we can do is offer employees what benefits the company has. And luckily there's a lot of virtual medicine offerings. So I think, you know, while I've been working in HR for 4 years now, I'm learning more about HR every day just because of the questions employees are asking. So, you know, I've That's had awesome. To become familiar with our benefits programs and offerings, and just, again, following the news. And we have a chief medical officer at our company who gives us updates every morning as well, just to make sure that we're strapped with the facts and that we calm down the paranoia, because that's what the virus has caused the most. But I think from my company perspective, we've done a great job of just making sure everyone is home and knows what they have available for not only them, but for their family and relatives as well, for support. I think it'll be an interesting story just to figure out how we get everyone back to work.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part is that we don't know how long this will last. And even when, you know, the self-quarantines end, and I've heard anything from end of May to end of summer, but whenever it does end, what does returning to work actually look like, especially in New York City, especially coming back to Times Square? I think that's what in HR we're working on now, besides trying to put on virtual programs for employees and try and keep the business running, business as usual. It's figuring out what's a safe way to return thousands of employees back into the office.
Oh my goodness.
So that's it's an interesting time to be in HR, I'll say. You're dealing with sensitive conversations all day. You sympathize with employees calling saying, you know, their older parent is in the hospital, or someone just passed away that's a close relative. So it definitely, you know, teaches you not just the how to sympathize, but to have a stronger backbone, because it's just the conversations just get to be too much. So it's good to step away mentally when we're having such long days.
Oh my goodness. Well, that definitely shed some light and some perspective on what's going on. And you know, that is much appreciated. I think people are truly going to benefit from that, especially those who are listening. And switching gears a little bit into something a little bit lighter, what has been the most interesting thing you have eaten so far during this quarantine? Because I know you're a foodie, and full disclosure, I shared my bean chip experience with Jose the other day, and I've never had I've never had a nacho chip made from beans that tasted this way. It was just like, I ate a family size bag in one sitting. What have you eaten that has made you feel just like you could eat it till whatever?
So I'm not gonna lie, the first week and a half, probably each day, I would buy a large bag of jalapeno chips. I am such a fan of spicy anything, and I was downing jalapeno chips like it was toilet paper going out of stock. And you know what? I wasn't the only one. My roommates were buying individual bags. I would go to the grocery store and they would be out of jalapeno chips, and that's when I would have to go to a different. So I wasn't the person hoarding toilet paper. I was the one buying all the jalapeno
Oh
chips
my God. Oh my
every day.
God. That
It was my
is
go-to.
hilarious. Yeah,
I've
no.
gotten better now, but yeah.
Wow. Wow. No. And I'll tell you what. So it's funny, this whole Netflix and chill thing is like literally been like my life during my free time. And to the point where I'm watching stuff that I never thought I'd be watching. And I started watching Tiger King. Have you seen that yet?
I only watched two episodes. I
Oh my.
refuse to go more than that. And I think I got the gist out of two episodes, and all the memes on Instagram. So I,
Know, the
Carol, whatever
memes,
her name is, she killed her husband. I
right?
know
Well,
it.
here's the funny part. If you watch it a little bit deeper, there's a plot twist. And you start, I know it's crazy that I'm even promoting this show because it is insane. This show would never have a chance if I wasn't in quarantine. Like the fact
Right.
that we're in quarantine, shows like this are getting life.
I
And
know. I know. Everyone, even at work, everyone I talk to, they've binge watched the whole season. I think I'm one of the few that haven't. I don't know. I don't know if I'll get to that point.
Yeah. So what I did hear though is that you're a fan of The Bachelor.
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
Tell me what's up with that.
So there's a lot of drama there. And luckily, the season actually ended before quarantine started. So I can't binge watch it because it's a live show every Monday night. But it is crazy. Pilot Pete, he was the latest bachelor. He really messed up. He picked one girl. You should have just seen the finale. It was like a three-night finale. He picked one girl, asked her to marry him. A month later, they check in. He breaks up with her and goes to the runner-up
What?
and flies to her home and says it should have been you, basically.
Stop
And
it.
then they come to the final like live premiere and they're like, yes, we're together. And then the very next day on Instagram, they said we decided to go our separate ways because they got so much hate from publicity, like for them being together.
Oh my God.
And then now Peter's with this girl, Kelly, who was like sick. She was part of the final six. And he sent her home. So he had five other girls there that he kept and dated longer. And now he's with this girl that he sent home way before.
Oh my
So
God.
I don't think a lot of people are a fan of Peter in the Bachelor world. I'm definitely not. I think he's too wishy-washy. But, you know, I get the pressure
Talk
of
about
dating 30
drama.
women. Yeah, dating 30 women. Would you ever do that, Adonis?
I
I've
don't
tempted
know.
to apply you for that in the past.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if in present day I got the bandwidth. I mean, 30 women, Jesus Christ. I
It's a
mean,
lot. I don't even know how they keep track of the names. I couldn't. I really couldn't.
no, that's crazy. Well, Jazz, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been real. Right now, we're gonna
Of
do
course.
I know we got an Easter brunch coming up pretty soon that we're gonna partake in. Are there any words you'd like to share with the audience in closing?
No, I'm just proud of you, and thank you so much for asking me to do this, and I'm happy to do it anytime in the future.
Oh my God. Love you so much, baby sis.
Love you
Everyone,
too.
thanks for tuning in. Till next time, peace out.